The following is the testimony of Zev Porat, an Israeli Jew who is now a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah. And from his testimony, you will be able to see the trials and the tribulations that a Jew in Israel, especially a religious Jew, he accepts Yeshua as the Messiah. Until now, very few ultra-Orthodox Jews in Israel have made a leap of faith to find salvation through Messiah Yeshua, and fewer yet have proclaimed it publicly. The following is the amazing story of one who did. His name is Zev Porat.
Shabbat Shalom. That he brought me to where I am right now, and he took me through the fire. He took me through 26 months of severe persecution after I accepted Yeshua. I was born in Israel. I grew up in the Orthodox city of Bnei Brak, but as a boy, my parents had moved to California. My father received a position as a rabbi in a Jewish congregation and a head of a yeshiva. Growing up as an Orthodox Jew, I always remember my father had a library about the size of that wall where the screen is. And we always had a lot of rabbinic books over there. But I remember there probably was a Bible in there somewhere. It was probably all dusted up. And I remember asking my father, if you're a rabbi, why do we have so many rabbinic books? Why can't we just read the Bible? And my father said, well, we need to read the rabbinic interpretations because those rabbis are anointed to teach us the Word of God. And this is the way I grew up. I grew up thinking that reading the Bible is only through interpretations. And I was always told as a boy, I remember in first grade, everybody was asked, what do you want to be? One person said a fireman, another person said a lawyer. I always said rabbi, because I was always brainwashed to be a rabbi from the time I was a little kid. And eventually what happened was, one day leaving the day school in California, there were a group of Christians across the street handing out A-tracks, if everybody remembers what they were, these big tapes. And my father came out of the school and he ran over to the students and he said, do not touch these people, they're missionaries, they believe in Jesus. And he didn't use the word Jesus, there's a word that the rabbis use to say Yeshua, and I'm not going to say what it is, but it's basically cursing our Savior. And that's what he said, and he said, God is going to punish you if you believe in this Jesus or even talk about this. So I was scared. So growing up, every time I heard the name of Jesus, I ran. And living in California, being surrounded by churches and messianic congregations, I was isolated from the truth because my father made sure I was isolated. Eventually, my father's school that was only up to junior high, so he ended up sending me down to downtown Los Angeles to a very, very Orthodox school. They would put us in a room with no windows. We were isolated from everything, and for 12 hours a day we would study the Talmud and the Gemara. And it was like too Orthodox for me. And I practically went to my father and I begged my father. I said, I can't take it, please. So my father said, you know what, I will send you to public school, but on the condition that every 3 times a week you come to school at 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 8, 9 o'clock at night, you study Talmud. That's the condition. And I did that, and I had a very hard time just being a Jew in California because I was the rabbi's son, and I couldn't connect with friends because if they wanted to go out somewhere, I couldn't go because it's not kosher. And if my father would see me sitting in a place or going to a discotheque, he would kill me. So I was pretty much a loner. And it was difficult for me. Eventually what happened, my father had passed away in California. And by his request, we transferred his body to Bnei Brak, that Orthodox city. And he's buried in a rabbinic cemetery over there in the Ponovitch Yeshiva. My grandfather, who Rabbi Pinchas Porat, who was still alive at that time, became like a father to me. And he started to teach me. Eventually the time came when I was supposed to go to the IDF. My grandfather did not want me to go to the IDF, but because my family were connected to the rabbinic movement in Israel, he had spoken to the military and they agreed to release me 3 times a week from the army and go study in a yeshiva in Bnei Brak. So I was still in the yeshiva in Bnei Brak. Eventually what happened during the last year in the army, I started to drift away from being an Orthodox Jew, still going to yeshiva, but I didn't want to be religious anymore. And my father wasn't alive, and my grandfather wasn't with me 24 hours a day, so I had an opportunity to start doing everything that I wasn't allowed to do. And I call it an outburst of sin. And I was going crazy. I started drinking, I started to go to pubs, discotheques, doing everything, and that didn't fill my heart up either. And eventually the internet came along, and one day I was in a chat room in a very not pleasant place. And in that chat room, where I was trying to run away from religion and God, a man from California, the place I grew up, found me in that chat room. And he saw that I was from Israel, and he started to share the New Testament with me in the chat room. And I got so upset. I said, I'm a Jew. Do not talk to me about the New Testament. I don't want to hear about the New Testament. And you know what? I don't want to hear about God. I had enough. I came here to run away from God. But you can't run away from God when God has a calling on you. God will find you in the internet. He'll find you anywhere. And I say, praise God. Praise Yeshua. This man was witnessing to me on the internet for 4 years, almost on a daily basis. And you have to ask yourself, if you didn't want to hear this man, why didn't you just delete him? And you know, I tried to delete him many times. I really did, but I couldn't do it. I didn't understand why. Now I understand the Holy Spirit was working on me. And I would say for the first 2 years of listening to this man, something started to sink in. And I started to walk around my house like this at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. God wouldn't let me sleep. And one side, the Holy Spirit was pulling me this way. The other side, Satan was pulling me this way. Satan was telling me, you're a Jew. You can't believe in Yeshua. If you do this, you'll be a traitor. You'll lose your family. You'll lose your life. But the Bible, the Tanakh, the Jewish Tanakh, was showing me that these prophecies are speaking about Yeshua. And I didn't know what to do, and I decided to go on an investigation. So 2 years in hearing the Word of God, still having that guy on the internet, I went to do an investigation. The first place I went was to libraries. I started to do a historical investigation. I found gaps in the book of Daniel. I found gaps between Christianity and what the Jews say. It confused me more. I then decided to go speak to my grandfather, Rabbi Pinchas Porat. Now, I walked into my grandfather's house, and I never even mentioned the word Messiah to him. I just showed him some messianic prophecies, and just by him looking at these messianic prophecies, my grandfather was a calm man, started to get very nervous and very upset. The more my grandfather got upset, the more he drew me closer to the gospel, closer to the truth, because I knew there was something wrong over there. And I decided to go on, to do an investigation. I interviewed 32 rabbis in 2 years in Israel. I received 26 different answers for the same question. The question was Micah 5, a birth of a king in Bethlehem. That confused me even more. Inside, I really knew that Yeshua was the Messiah. But Satan was pulling me. I couldn't accept it. I wouldn't accept it. You know, the Bible says that we're stiff-necked, and I would say that's an understatement. And I would not accept it. So 4 years already, I decided to go to speak to Rabbi Israel Lau, if anybody's ever heard of him. He was the main rabbi of Israel at that time. Today he's the main rabbi of Tel Aviv. Now, to get an appointment with Rabbi Lau is almost impossible, because if you call his office, it could take 2 to 3 months to meet him. Because he knew my family well, he agreed to meet me. And I just walked into his office with my Tanakh. Not this one. This one has the New Testament. With my Tanakh, and I just said, Rabbi Lau, Shalom, I'd like to ask you a question. I interviewed 32 rabbis, 33 actually, with my grandfather. I received 26 different answers for the same question. Isn't there one Bible? And you know, Rabbi Israel Lau looked at me, and he said, Zev, the fact that you received 26 different answers for the same question is okay, because there are 70 panim la Torah, meaning there's 70 faces to the Torah, meaning there's 70 answers. And you know, I was very disappointed, and I understood why he was the main rabbi of Israel. The more illogic you have, the higher you go. But I could just tell you that I was very disappointed. I knew the truth. I left his office. You know, I think the hardest thing that I experienced when I left his office was, you know, was my whole life a lie? Is this everything that I've been taught as a little boy was a lie? Everything was, I mean, there's a lot of good things in the Torah that they teach. I'm not saying everything, but the message, the true gospel, the truth of salvation is not in works. And I didn't know what to do. And again, I would not accept Yeshua. I would not accept him. And again, the enemy pulling me. The next night, it was a very cold winter night in Israel in January. 3:30 in the morning, my bed was all wet. I was shaking all over. And God spoke to me through a cloud. Now, a cloud is not shiny, but this cloud was shiny. God spoke my name 2 times, and he said, Zev, Zev, Yishayahu Nun Gimel, Ze HaMashiach Shel Yisrael. Isaiah 53 is the Messiah of Israel. And boom, it hit me right there, the Holy Spirit. And you know, growing up as an Orthodox Jew, you're told that you have privileges, that, you know, we're very prideful growing up that way, and that you deserve everything because you're Jewish. But I never felt the presence of the Father. This was the first time through Yeshua that I felt what it is to have a relationship with God. I was born again. I was on fire. And what I didn't share was my part of God's plan is that God put me together with a Gentile before I was a believer. My wife is from a Chinese background and from a Buddhist background. And it was funny because we had like a Buddha doll here and rabbi pictures there. It was kind of God has a sense of humor. But I woke up my wife Lynn and I said, you know, Lynn, the Messiah of Israel is Yeshua. It's true. And my wife said, you know, go back to bed, Zev. It's the guy from the internet brainwashing you. And you know, praise God, the guy from California sent me a lot of Bibles and a lot of books. And I had, he knew my wife was Chinese, and I had a Chinese Bible. I was sharing the gospel with her for a whole week. And praise God, after a week, my wife accepted Yeshua as her personal Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was great just taking that big fat Buddha and smashing it, you know, getting it out of the house. And, you know, I was on fire, and I called my mom up, and I said, Mom, I know who the Messiah is. He's in the Jewish Bible. He's Yeshua. And my mom, she got so upset at me. She said, Zev, your father is twisting and turning in his grave for what you have done. I don't want to speak to you. Boom, and she smashed the phone in my face. I have an Orthodox sister that lives in the city of Rehovot. Her husband is a rabbi. He makes mezuzot. He's the one that authorized that the mezuzot are kosher. See, God's word is not kosher enough. We need a rabbi to stamp on it. And that's his job. And I had one opportunity to share Yeshua with them. It was Psalms 2, Kiss the Son. And he was telling me, I'll never forget it. I was sitting down with him and he was saying, you know, Zev, you think that it says son over here, but it doesn't say son. You think that it says Messiah, but it means Israel. You don't understand. And you know what? You're not authorized to read this Bible. You need to read the interpretations. And in fact, if you read this and determine that this is what it says, you could die. This is what he told me, pretty strong words. And I left there. I never, ever had an opportunity again to share Yeshua with not my sister, not him. My sister went to the main rabbinic courts in Jerusalem. And again, because of my family's connection, it was easy for them to penetrate in those places. And the rabbis had subpoenaed me to a court. My sister wanted to have an injunction filed against me that I can't get within 100 meters from her children, her house, or the telephone, so she didn't want her children to hear about Yeshua. And when they called me to the courts, I wrote him back a letter. I said, I'm not going to come to the rabbinic courts because I'm not under your law, I'm under Yeshua's law. And they were going to crucify me either way. It doesn't matter. But, you know, unfortunately, my sister, if you were to ask her today, where's your brother Ziv? She doesn't say that I'm a believer, but she says that I died. That's what she would say. So I'm praying for her salvation. She now has eight kids. I don't know my nephews. I'm praying for them. So I would appreciate if everybody would put my sister Sigal in their prayers for her salvation. Eventually, I was working in a company, managing 37 workers. It was a medical company in the city of Herzliya. Just to give you a description of what kind of job it was, I had a new car every October. All my phone bills were paid for. I had three times the average salary in Israel. My perks were another people's salary, just the condition I had. It was a very good job. And when I was saved, I was 12 and a half years in that company. But sharing Yeshua for about almost 2 years in that company, I reached 14 and a half years. And one day I receive a phone call from the CEO. Now the CEO, I've seen him maybe in meetings or maybe in faxes or emails, but never had eye-to-eye contact with him. This is the first time he called me in his office. So I drove down to his office in Ra'anana. I walk into his office. Rafi ben Hamo is he was a Jew with a knitted kippah. It means he's not Orthodox. He was maybe a traditional Jew. And he says, "Zev, I've been hearing things about you." And I asked him, "Rafi, what kind of things? Is there something wrong with my job?" And he said, "No, there's nothing wrong with your job, but you're speaking about this, again, using that foul word, this Yeshua guy." I said, "Well, I don't do it at work, I do it after work." He said, "Well, you're going to turn this place into a cult, and I won't allow it." I asked him, "What's the difference if Moshe or David speak about football after work? Isn't it the same thing?" And he said, "It's not the same thing, I won't allow it. Come back in the morning and speak with me." I drove back to his office the next morning. When I walked into his office, he was not so friendly anymore. And he asked me, "What's it going to be?" And I said, "What do you mean? Are you asking me to deny the Lord Yeshua?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I will never deny the Lord Yeshua." And he looked at me and he said, "So you're out of here." And he terminated 14 and a half years of work in 2 minutes. He said, "You're not going to get any compensation. You're not going to get a salary. I want you to go return your cars and empty your drawers." So I drove back to my office in Herzliya. And I was a new believer about 2 years in the faith. And I was angry. I was upset. I was very angry. And all my colleagues at work said, "You know, he can't do that. It's not legal." And they were right. He couldn't do it. And I decided that I'm going to go and I'm going to sue him in the labor courts in Israel. And as I was praying to God, God revealed the scripture to me. A man, vengeance is mine. And I understood that God is telling me not only to let this Rafi go, but to pray for his salvation. And that's what I did. I let him go and people thought I was crazy or something. But that's what I did. And now I had a very big struggle in Israel because being a Messianic Jew, looking for a job, people wanted to know, "What have you been doing for 14 and a half years? Where's your resume? Who can recommend you?" I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any family at that time. And I didn't have anybody to recommend me. So I just wrote on my application, "I'm a Messianic Jew, and this is why I was fired. I don't have any recommendations, but I'll work for free for 6-7 days. And if I'm not qualified, just don't pay me. It's okay." And they all say, "Oh, we don't care that you believe in Yeshua. We're secular. We'll call you." 4 months passed, 6 months passed, 8 months passed, 11 months passed. No one ever called me. And then I didn't know what to do because, you know, our bills were piling up and my wife was working a little bit and I didn't know what to do. So God revealed another scripture to me. "A man who doesn't work shall not eat." And I understood that God is telling me, "Zev, if you can't find the job that you're looking for, you find any job because every job is a blessing." Now, what I didn't mention earlier is that when I was in the IDF, I had a big hatred for Arabs. I used my position in the army when I was stationed in Lebanon for 8 months to exercise that hatred. And God had to not only save me by supernatural, but had to take me through the fire and to teach me how to love all people and to love my brothers, the Arabs. And I went and I found this job, and it was a very low-paying job, a very hard job. I went to work as a dishwasher. And you know who was my manager? It was an Arab. And this Arab loved the Jews. He loved them so much that he was screaming at me all day long. And I didn't know what to do. And God just brought the Holy Spirit through me, and I started to love this guy. And slowly, slowly, this Arab guy, Muhammad, we became friends. We became friends through Yeshua. And so I had big struggles right now because my house as lease has been expired in Tel Aviv, an 18-month lease that I had. So I went to the landowner. By the way, I always say landowner because I have one lord. So I went to my landowner and I said, you know, I'd like to continue to live here. I do not have the same job I had before, but I'd like to stay here. I don't have any co-signers or anybody. He said, well, Zev, it's, you know, no problem. You can stay here. Just give me a year's rent in advance. Give me a $9,000 collateral and you can stay. Well, the truth of the matter was we didn't have the money and I didn't have a car. I went and I bought an old beat up car. I'm talking about the kind of car that if you leave the car keys inside, no one steals it. It's one of those junkies. And we just put all our belongings in that car, and a very, very difficult and hard decision was made. We went to live on the beach, me and my wife. And I remember when we arrived to the beach in Tel Aviv, my wife asked me a question. She said, you know, doesn't the Bible teach that God will take care of us? Doesn't the Bible teach that God will bless us? What kind of a blessing is this? And I turned to my wife, Lynn, and I just said, you know, I really don't know, but I can give you three answers. The first answer is God is not the author of evil, but he can allow it. Second one, God has a plan for our life, and he will bless us if we keep on going to his provision in faith. And you know, I never knew how long I was going to stay on the beach when I said that. I ended up being on the beach for 3.5 months in Tel Aviv. It was very difficult. And if anybody knows, in Tel Aviv at night, the kind of people that walk around are drunk addicts, prostitutes, and it's not a very pleasant place to be. So what we did, we put up a tent, and I would sleep 3 hours, my wife would guard the tent. She would sleep 3 hours, I would guard the tent. And this is what we did. So I was working as a dishwasher, sleeping on the beach, looking for a job at the same time. And I didn't have a Messianic congregation at that time. I used to go to the Garden of Tomb in Jerusalem to pray. That's where I found the presence of the Holy Spirit. And eventually what happened was, after about almost 3 months of being on the beach, my grandfather passed away. And my grandfather passed away. What I didn't share before, I'm sorry, is when I accepted Yeshua, I also went to my grandfather's house. And I told him, remember we spoke about these prophecies? It's Yeshua. And my grandfather had like a glass window right here with China silverware. He just got up, and it wasn't my grandfather anymore. And he started to take plates and throw them at me like this and call me a goy, Gentile. And I don't know if anybody can see, I've got a scar right there. That's from one of the plates that hit me. And his son just told me, leave, Zev. And I was like in shock like this. He was throwing plates at me. I never saw my grandfather again. The pain I felt inside, I didn't even feel the physical pain outside. And eventually, as I mentioned, my 3 months on the beach, my grandfather had passed away. And the family all said that he passed away because I believe in Yeshua. That's the reason. They forgot he's 87 years old. You know, but I went to the cemetery in Bnei Brak where my father was buried too. And as I walked into the cemetery, you know, I couldn't believe that my family, you know, in a time of grief, how they can even think about these things. They had so much hatred for Yeshua that they can think about this when they're grieving, when they're mourning. And I walked into the cemetery and these two big guys, about 6'8", 6'9", Russian guys were there. And my family said, that's him. And I walked over there and they said, you're not allowed to be in this funeral, you need to leave. And I said, well, this is my grandfather. He's like a father to me, I'm not leaving. They physically picked me up, they took me and they threw me out of the cemetery. And it was very painful for me, not only because I was on the beach, because he was like a father to me. And, you know, being thrown out of the cemetery was very painful for me. This is the beginning of the persecution for my family, the real severe persecution that I endured, except for being thrown out of my job and all this. Eventually what happened was God spoke to me. Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Zev, you have not been sharing Yeshua. You have not been sharing your faith. And I started to negotiate with God. You know, I'm on the beach. It's kind of difficult. You know, you got to give me a break here. And God said, you know, you share the gospel in season and out. So I understood God is telling me to go share the gospel. So working as a dishwasher, sleeping on the beach, I went and I shared the gospel. And one day, you know, I mentioned that my mom didn't talk to me. My whole family disowned me. The only one that's in a little bit relationship with me right now is my mom. But like, if I go visit my mom, it's like, if everybody's ever been to Israel, if you walk into a mall or to a bank, you get they like check you, like you have to be inspected. So when I go to my mom's house, she inspects me too, that I don't have a Bible on me. Because she doesn't want me, no Bible, no Tanakh. She's scared of the Tanakh, you know? No Tanakh if you come here. And I used to call my mom on Honor Your Mother and Father, Ten Commandments, on Yom Shishi to say Shabbat Shalom. But during the time that I was on the beach, I really didn't call so much. It was difficult. And one day I really called my mom and said Shabbat Shalom. My mom asked me, you know, you haven't called me. And you know, no matter how much my mom hated the fact that I believe in Yeshua, she still loved me and she was waiting for that Shabbat Shalom. And I told her the truth. I said, Mom, you know, I'm on the beach. This is what happened. And my mom was happy. She said, this is what you deserve. I warned you not to believe in Yeshua. You've lost your family. You've lost your friends. This is what happened. And I told Mom, God is going to bless me. And she said, Meshigene, and closed the phone. The next was two nights later, at our tent at 12 o'clock at night, seven rabbis came over. Two of them I recognized from the main rabbinic movement of Israel. And I thought they came to break my legs. But they came, they said, Zeb, we're not here to fight with you, everything's okay. We know you made a mistake. We know you're supposed to be a rabbi. You come with us, we'll clean you up. We'll get you a place to live, we'll put you back in the yeshiva. And they pull out a check. It was in Israeli shekels, but it was equivalent to about 25, 26,000 American dollars. And they say, take this money and come with us. 3.5 months on the beach almost already. I turned to them and I said, God bless you. But I will never deny the Lord Yeshua. And, you know, they turned to me and they cursed our Savior. They spit on me and they left. But no physical violence. They just left. And I went and I shared the gospel because God was telling me to share the gospel a night after. And I was sharing in Tel Aviv areas, mostly secular people. There was a guy there in his middle 50s that I had my little Tanakh, my little Bible that I received from the IDF in my pocket. And I started to share Yeshua with them near the restaurant area. And out of nowhere, as I'm reading scripture about how God made man in his image, the guy just punches me, boom, out of nowhere. And I fall on the floor. And these people, about 20 or 25 years old, that saw this man punching me, thought that I did something to him. And they all came and started to kick me. Before I knew it, the police were there. They handcuffed my hands and my feet. And I tried to explain to the police officer that this man, you know, hit me because I was sharing the Tanakh with him. So the police officer asked me, where do you live? I said, I live on the beach. He asked this man, did you hit him because he was sharing the Tanakh with you? And he said, yes. He's a goy, he's a Gentile, he's a traitor. Take him out of here. So the police officer says, I'd like you to come down to the police station with me and file a complaint against him. He's admitted to assaulting you. I will sign the document that you're living on the beach. You can probably get some money out of him. I turned to the police officer and I said, God forgives him and I forgive him. I'm not going to press charges against him. The police officer thought I was crazy, but it was a wonderful testimony because the people that were around, Israel is a very curious place. When something happens, 50 people come. And they were all watching. And it was a testimony. And these people that were violent towards me, they couldn't speak. They were just like this. I left off and I walked. And I had a problem right now. I'm a Messianic Jew, living on the beach, working as a dishwasher, married to a Gentile. And now I had a black eye. And you know, it was not easy looking for a job. How do you look for a job? It doesn't look too good. So I didn't know what to do. And I mentioned before, I found the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Garden of Tombs. So I took a bus one day and I went up to Jerusalem. I was sitting, weeping in the Garden of Tomb. Most of the people that go to the Garden of Tomb are tourists. So there was no indication that I was a Messianic Jew over there. And this guy from Australia walks up to me by the name of Alan and he said, are you a Messianic Jew? And I said, yes, I am. He said, the Holy Spirit told me to come and speak with you. And I told him what happened, and we sat down together and we prayed and started to cry together. And he said, God is going to bless you. Yeshua is going to bless you. And I left that time, 3.5 months on the beach already. And I left. And my grandfather's attorney had called me, and he said, your grandfather left you a will. Yeah, with a lot of money, I'd like you to come down to my office. So I went down to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva Street 52. It was a lawyer's office, and he was an Orthodox lawyer. And I walked into his office, and only me and him. He said, this part of the will, your grandfather said to open alone. He pulls out the will, and he says, your grandfather left you 4.5 million shekels, which is over $1 million at that time. And he left you assets. Your grandfather had synagogues. He left you one synagogue, and he left you half of the house. Because my father wasn't alive anymore, I kind of took my father's part. But he said there's a condition here, and he pulls out a piece of paper like this. He says, your grandfather said that if you sign here that you deny Yeshua, it's yours. And I told the attorney, I'm not going to sign it. And the attorney said, he looks at me, he's an Orthodox attorney, he looks at me and he said, you know, Zev, it's only me and you here. You want to believe in Yeshua, you believe in what you want. Just sign the document and go. I said, it's not only me and you here. He's here. He's here. And he looks at me and he says, do you understand, Zev, that if you do not sign this document, the court of law will give this money to your family? And I looked at him and I said, that's okay. But remember to tell him that Yeshua gave the money. And I just, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I walked out of there, and after being in the Garden of Tomb, God poured 7-8 days of supernatural blessings on me. It was amazing. The first blessing I received was a Monday. I received a telephone from a bank in Israel, and they were saying that an insurance company, Klal Bituach, is looking for you. Can we give them your phone number? And I said, sure. You know, my life's already, what can be worse? You can give my phone number, you know? No problem. So they gave him my phone number, and the same day, really, 4:30 in the afternoon, Monday, the insurance company calls me. And they said, Mr. Port, we have been looking for you for a long time. We have a check in shekels equivalent to $11,000. And I knew I didn't deserve that money. I knew where it came from. And I said, where's your address? And I ran over there. And, I called my wife, Lynn. I said, I can't explain, but we're being blessed. And we're taking a hot shower tonight. Meet me in Remax, which is in Ramat Gan, and we're gonna get a place to live. I ran down to the insurance company, and when I received the check, it had two lines on it. Now, two lines in Israel means that you got a deposit in the bank account. It takes 3 to 4 days. I wasn't gonna wait another 3 or 4 days. So I told them, this is where the favor of the Bible talks about the favor of the non-believer being upon you. And really, the favor was there. And I told them that I slept on the beach and I need the money. And you know what? They went into the CO. He signed it. Praise God. Today, you can't sign those kind of checks. They changed the rule in Israel, but at that time, it was still valid. So he signed the check. And I ran to the bank. It was 6:10 p.m. The bank closes at 6:30. Now, I'm telling you, if you would see the way I walked into the bank, you would think I'm a bank robber. The way I went and deposited that money. I just took the money and I ran to Remax. By the time I reached the real estate agent, it was already 5 to 7 p.m. My wife was already there. And I said, you know, I need a place, and this is immediately, and I can pay 3 months, and this is the condition I have. And he said, I've got a few places to show you, but you know what? It's closing time. Why don't you come back in the morning? And again, the favor of Yeshua, the favor of God, was upon me. And I said, I slept on the beach for 3.5 months, and you know what, he agreed to show me a place. And the first place he showed me was Derech HaShalom, which means the road of peace. It's amazing how that's the place he found for me. And it was a white fence outside, and I asked him, is it vacant? He said, yes. I said, who do I sign the contract with? He said, well, the owners don't live here, they live overseas, but you signed the contract with me. I said, I'll take it. And he looks at me and he says, but you haven't seen it. I said, when you live on the beach for 3.5 months, you'll take it too. And, you know, praise God, there was nothing in that room, just a mattress on the floor, and it was a very small room, about 20 meters, but praise God, it was like a mansion for us. And he said, this real estate agent, he said, you know, 17 years being a realtor, this is the fastest business deal I've ever made. Praise God, you know, I've been witnessing him for many, many years. He hasn't accepted Yeshua yet, but he's been through the whole process, and he's seen God's glory. So we're praying for him too, Chaim. So anyways, I receive another phone call the next day. This time it was from my wife's, my wife was working in as a cook, cooking in some places. And one of the places that she was working at, it wasn't even them, it was the father of the family, left my wife a check for $12,000. So praise God, what the Orthodox Jews wanted to give me 2 weeks ago, God gave me. It was amazing. And the next day, 2 days later, another phone call. This time it was from one of the jobs that I applied for 11 months ago. And they said, Mr. Porat, are you still looking for a job? And I said, yes. We want to hire you. So God gave us finances, a place to live, and a job. And it was a very good job. I was working for the military, Misrad HaBitachon. And praise God. And this is really how God brought me from being an Orthodox Jew in the dark to the light of Yeshua. And really, I want to encourage anybody who's here listening, if you're going through anything difficult in your life, doesn't matter what you're going through, there's victory in Yeshua in the end. Hallelujah.
If this story of courage and faith has blessed you, and if you're interested, you can support Zev in his ministry by going to the website,